A little bit.
Hi guys, my name is Francis. I just came to America last year in the summer, and I'm doing a master's degree, like Joseph, doing it in Trinity. Yeah, it's a great place to be here, and it's good to meet you all. I believe I met some of you in the sporting field last year. Yeah. So, So let's, do you all have a Bible with you? So let us turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 12 to 20. The Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 12 to 20. So please follow along in your own Bible as you listen to the passage. John chapter 8, verses 12 to 20. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, "You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." Jesus answered, "Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law, it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I'm the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me." They said to him, "Therefore, where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." These words he spoke in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him, because his hour has not yet come. This is the word of God. Would you pray with me? Father, we come before you to worship you and to learn more about you, so that we can follow you more closely. Would you open our hearts to be receptive to your words and transform our lives so that we can see the world the way you want us to see it? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, have you ever found yourself in complete darkness before? And I personally have. Not only that, every time I sleep, I turn off the light, is that kind of darkness. But in an outdoor area, I recall when I was younger, I went hiking in Hong Kong. There are a lot of hills there, and there are lots of hiking track there. And I was hiking with some of my friends in the late afternoon, but it went darker earlier than we expected. And suddenly, the sun set and we found ourselves in complete darkness. But we are still on the top of the mountain and we need to trek back down. So we need to search in the dark. And it was dangerous because, you know, going down the hill, you don't know the road, and one wrong step will get you injured. And it was at that time I realized the importance of light. And using the limited torch function of our phone, we were able to see directly what is in front of us. And with the help of these little bits of light, we are thankful that we can get back to town safely. So this is what light does. Light enables us to see what is happening around us. And on the contrary, darkness means that the absence of light, which will prevent us from knowing what is happening. And we could only make wild guesses of our surrounding in complete darkness. And this brings us back to our passage where Jesus claimed to be the light of the world. And you may wonder, why did Jesus suddenly claim himself to be the light? how was this claim related to the overall story in the Gospel of John? Today's passage is like an episode in a TV show. So we cannot understand the plot simply by looking at this one episode. We have to look at the whole story in order to understand it properly. So in today's sermon, I will try to break down the story for you so that you will know why Jesus claimed to be the light of the world, why his claim is true, and what he meant by being the light of the world, and finally, how does it affect us? Firstly, why would Jesus suddenly claim himself to be the light of the world? In other words, what caused him to say that? Naturally, we need to look at what happened beforehand in order to understand that. So if we go back to the last passage, and you may notice in your Bible that there is a note sometimes that it says, the earliest manuscript does not include John chapter 7, verses 53 to 8:11. That means that the story of a woman caught in adultery was not originally part of the Bible. It is really likely that it is a later addition. So if we need to know the author, what he was setting up for the story, we need to look further back in chapter 7 to know what was happening immediately before that. And this is the reason why Jesus claimed to be the light of the world. So, and if you look at the last section of John chapter 7, the crowd in the temple had a discussion among themselves as to whether Jesus is the promised Messiah or not. And the Messiah is like the Old Testament prophets, the prophecy about the Messiah that will save Israel from the Old Testament. And, you know, because Jesus did incredible things and said incredible words, some people already speculated that he might be the Messiah. However, there are other people who object to that, such as the religious leaders, the Pharisees. They don't agree with the crowd that Jesus could be the Messiah. It is because, according to their understanding of the scripture, they think the Messiah has to come from Bethlehem and not from Galilee. So they thought Jesus came from the city of Nazareth of Galilee and had no roots in Bethlehem. We know this is wrong because Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but to their knowledge, they don't know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. So during this debate, one of the religious leader, Nicodemus, he happened in the chapter 3 of John, he defended Jesus by saying that, look, we need to first listen to what Jesus say about himself before we judge if he is really the Messiah or not. And so they kind of invited Jesus to make a statement about his own messiahship. And it is in this occasion Jesus replied by saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And Jesus' reply may sound a little bit strange to new readers, because Jesus obviously didn't directly answer the question if he is the Messiah. But if you're familiar with the whole story, remember I said it is like a whole big TV drama that we have to follow every episode. So, and if you are familiar with the whole story, and you will be able to see Jesus' answer actually made perfect sense. Because Jesus was relating himself to a prophecy about Messiahship in Galilee in the Old Testament. And would you all turn to the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament to chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 2. It's kind of like right at the middle of your Bible. So in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 1 to 2, the prophet Isaiah proclaimed that in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. So in this prophecy, Galilee is mentioned, and that people who used to walk in deep darkness, they will see a great light when the Messiah comes. And if we know this prophecy, Jesus claimed to be the light, actually makes perfect sense, because Jesus is the light, and his ministry in the Galilee area would become a great light for people there, so that if they accept Jesus, they will not walk in darkness anymore. So Jesus claimed to be the light of the world, fulfills the prophecy as he brings light to Galilee. So Jesus' claim has the effect to say that he is the Messiah, and the Messiah's job is to bring light to Galilee as predicted by the prophet. And in this way, Jesus made the perfect response to people's question about whether he is the Messiah or not. And it appears that even the opposing religious leaders, the Pharisees, they seem to understand Jesus claiming himself to be the Messiah. And it is because of that the Pharisees immediately objected to his claim, saying that, "Jesus, you are just self-proclaiming to be the Messiah," which is not authoritative in their eyes. The Pharisees said in John chapter 8, "You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." And to be fair, the Pharisees did have a point, because anyone could have claimed himself to be the Messiah. Why would they believe him to be the Messiah? And this brings us to the second section of the sermon. Why is Jesus' claim to be the Messiah true? The rest of the story in today's passage is about Jesus' defense as to why his messianic claim is true. And would you turn back to John chapter 8? And the first reason Jesus gave to substantiate his claim to be the light of the world is that he knew where he came from and where he was going. And we can know from the next passage that Jesus came from the heaven and he is not of this world. We also know that Jesus was going back to the heaven after his death and resurrection. So in other words, the origin and destination of Jesus is heaven, meaning that he is divine, he is of God. Because Jesus is divine, his authority is divine as well. He carries divine authority. Do you know what authority means? So if any of you go to school, because I apparently know someone who are doing homeschool in this country. And imagine if you go to school, and if a teacher says something, normally students have to obey that. And if the principal, the headmaster of that school, says something, the whole school has to listen to that, even including the teacher as well. So you can see that there are some power in the words of the principal. And then a few days ago, President Trump said something in the form of executive orders, and this carries a really powerful authority because he is, by his word, impacting the whole country. So we can see that there is even more power in Trump's words. And do you know if there is anyone on earth that has higher authority than Donald Trump? The answer is yes. And it is because the Supreme Court has even higher authority than Donald Trump, because the word of the Supreme Court, that is the judgment, can override Trump's words. So the Supreme Court has even higher authority than Donald Trump's word. Now, going back to Jesus, Jesus has an even higher authority. In fact, it is the highest authority, the divine authority, the authority of God. So in the first chapter of the whole story of God, in the book of Genesis, we can see that God's divine authority, even powerful enough to create the world. So God can simply create the world by saying, "Let there be light," and there is light. So Jesus claimed to be the light of the world must be true, because Jesus' word carries divine authority. And Jesus also gave a second reason that his claim to be the light of the world is true. He said that it will be the Father and Jesus himself who will judge if Jesus' claim is true. Jesus said in verses 16, "Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me." What the Pharisees were trying to do was to judge whether Jesus' claim was true or false. But Jesus was telling them it was not a matter that human can decide, because the Messiah was the means that God brings salvation to humanity, and God himself knows whom he would send as the Messiah. And God cannot be wrong about that. So to understand this, have you ever played a game called Werewolf? Does anyone know what Werewolf is? A game? It's like a spy game. So in this game, there will be one werewolf among the group. And this werewolf, like you imagine, he is a werewolf, but he is in disguise, so no one can realize that he is the werewolf. It's like really a spy within one of you. And the goal of the game is for everyone else to find out who is that spy, the werewolf. And the goal for the werewolf is to pretend to be a normal people and don't get caught. It's kind of like that. And in one version of this game, one person will not play and will be the MC. And this MC will choose which person would be the werewolf. And he would know do you know why the MC would know who the werewolf is? The reason is that it's because he chose him. So he, of course, know who the werewolf is. And so later in the game, when everyone else is trying to accuse a person if he is a werewolf or not, the MC can affirm or deny that that person is the werewolf. And the reason he knows that is simply because he chose the werewolf. And in a similar way, God is like that MC, because God knows whom he chose to be the Messiah. He must be right. He knows if people are right or wrong about who is really the Messiah. So the Pharisees could argue as they wanted, but ultimately, it will be God who judges who the Messiah really is. And we already know that God sends Jesus as the Messiah to save the world. And for those who didn't accept Jesus as God's Messiah, they will be judged by God because they rejected God's salvation. So Jesus' messianic claim to be the light of the world is both true and trustworthy because Jesus' words carry divine authority, and it will be the Father and Jesus himself who decide who the Messiah really is. And accordingly, Jesus' claim to be the light of the world is a truth that we all should hold on to. So we now are certain that Jesus claimed to be the light of the world, and his claim is certainly true. And we also know that by claiming to be the light of the world, Jesus is actually doing what the Messiah is supposed to do, which is to bring light to darkness. But what does being the light of the world actually means? And this brings us to the third section of the sermon, the meaning of light of the world. Jesus as the light of the world is a spiritual truth revealed by the Bible. Certainly, we do not think that Jesus is saying that he is physically a light that we can all see with our naked eyes. Instead, the Bible talks about the light of the world metaphorically, about the spiritual reality about God. Since God is higher and above us, his existence transcends us, transcends our five senses. And therefore, we cannot see God with our own eyes, even though we know he is actually everywhere. So it's kind of like there is something that we cannot see with our senses, but it is actually there. Just like, you know, Wi-Fi. So we cannot detect Wi-Fi with any of our senses, but we know that there is Wi-Fi somewhere in this world because it is there. So even though we cannot see it, it doesn't mean that it is not true and it is not there. And in some way, God is like that as well. So, but we know that we cannot see God with our senses, but God is actually everywhere. And on the other side, from God's point of view, we are actually spiritually blind without Jesus, because even though God is here, no one seems to be able to know him. And recall my story I told you in the beginning. When I was hiking in complete darkness, I was desperately want to have light. And it's because the main function of light is to enable us to see. Without light, we could only guess what is happening to us, and we will be prone to make mistakes. But if there is light, we will be able to see things clearly and not making any mistakes. And going back to the Gospel of John, we are all living in spiritual darkness before Jesus, and we would make mistakes and be ignorant about God. And, you know, some people, being spiritually blind, they would deny that God exists. And some thought that God could be bribed with money or good works. And some thought that there are many gods. These are all false about God, because they are totally mistaken. As they are in the dark, they could only guess what is happening about God. They are spiritually blind. And now you understand what it means to be in the dark metaphorically. It means that people have no knowledge and no way to know God correctly. And with this in mind, we can understand Jesus as the light of the world. Jesus is metaphorically the light that enable us to see and understand the spiritual reality about God, so that we can no longer be spiritually blind. An English author, C.S. Lewis, famously said, "I believe that the sun has risen, not because I see it, but because by it, I see everything else." Likewise, we should believe in Jesus, so that by Jesus, we can see everything else. Jesus reveals God himself to us. Through Jesus' life, his teaching, his work, we can come to know God the correct way, even though we lack the senses to detect God naturally. We no longer need to guess where God is, and we no longer need to doubt God's existence, because Jesus, as the light, he enables us to see God clearly. And it is most fitting for Jesus to be the revealer of God, because he has divine authority and is one with the Father. This is exactly what the Messiah is supposed to do, to enable God's people to come to God. And how does Jesus fulfill his role as the light? Jesus did that ultimately by dying on the cross and resurrecting, so that we can be fully reconciled to God. The salvation Jesus achieved on the cross is how he functioned as the light of the world, so that we can come to God through him. And moving to the last section, how does Jesus claim to be the light of the world impact us? So with Jesus being the light of the world, we cannot live in a way that is as if Jesus is not the light. This is the reality for us. You will never be able to come to God except through Jesus. The main point is, we need to interpret and understand our world through the lens of Jesus. The world may make you think that if I'm a good person, or I have good grades at school, or I have a lot of friends, a lot of achievements, or because I'm rich, I'm beautiful or handsome, because of all these good things about me, I will be successful. But the reality in Jesus is that all of these will not get you anywhere closer to God. Instead, the light of Jesus makes us know that we can only come to God by believing in Jesus. On the contrary, you may think that I'm nobody, I have no money, I'm not smart, I'm not good looking, I'm even naughty, I did bad things. But the light of Jesus also teaches you to interpret the reality that all of these supposedly bad things will not stop you from coming to God. You can still come to God if you decide to follow Jesus and let him be your Lord and Savior. Jesus as the light of the world, help us to interpret the world the way God wants us to, and which is the correct way according to God. And there are also a lot of temptations to lure us away from how Jesus wants us to understand the world. In America, at least according to me as a new people, it is a free place. It's a place of freedom. But how well are we using our freedom? Are we using our freedom to satisfy our wants or to indulge ourselves to the detriment of others? And soon you will all face sexual temptation as teenagers. Are we using our freedom in a way that respects our body, that honors the sanctity and holiness of our body, which God tells us our body is the temple of God? Are we respecting God in the exercise of our freedom? When freedom is all over our head, we will lose sight of the light of Jesus. Freedom is a gift from God, but if we solely focus on the gift but neglect the giver, we will be disrespecting the giver, not pleasing him. The world also tempts us to interpret this world as wholly physical and material. But Jesus helps us to see that God exists and that our life is more than mere materials. The world also tempts us to interpret that our relationship with God does not matter, which is the exact opposite of following Jesus. The world wants you to think that your life, maybe 70 or 80 years, is the only life that you live. So they want you to live with a mentality of YOLO, you only live once, making you forget that you actually should care more about your eternal life in Jesus. These are examples of the lies that the world is telling us. Even if we are Christians already, they will still lead you away from God, damaging your life. And remember, we will all be spiritually blind if we do not follow Jesus as the light of our lives. To sum up today's sermon, Jesus is the light of the world, such that it is only through Jesus we can interpret the reality about God properly, and that he is the only way that we can come to God. And knowing this is not enough. We need to make Jesus the light of our lives. And this means that we need to believe in him and follow him. We need to see the world as Jesus sees it, such that we recognize God exists and he is in control. Because God is in control, we cannot live in a way that disregards this reality, acting as if God were not there and thus indulging ourselves in sins. Would you all follow Jesus as the light of your lives? Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for giving us Jesus, the light of our world. Protect us from the temptations of the world so that we can follow Jesus closely. Help us see the world the way you want us to see, and help us have faith in you. Thank you once again for giving us Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.